Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Richard Overton did not make it to see the new year. He died on December 27th. He was a man of some notoriety. He was the oldest man in the United States. He died in December at the age of 112. From what I've read and from what I've heard, I would say that Richard would tell you that it was okay that he didn't make it to the new year. He had over 110 of them to celebrate before. They said a lot of things about Richard in his funeral service. They talked about the things that he felt helped him make it to the age of 112. It was his sense of humor. It was his love of cigars and whiskey that always helped out. But his son said the thing that set Richard apart was his sense of love. That it was a love that he shared with everyone he met. A love that didn't have any handles on it, any requirements. It was truly a love like the love of God. When we read today's gospel lesson, we hear about Jesus being baptized. Now, this is Luke's version of the baptism, and if you go through the story of Luke, what you find out through that gospel is there are only a couple of things that happened before. He's born, he's dedicated, and then he doesn't end up in the back seat of the family station wagon and stays behind in Jerusalem, much to the chagrin of Mary and Joseph. And so now he's being baptized. In a fairly dramatic way, we have the dove that comes down in bodily form that everybody sees, the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, and that voice that comes out sounding strangely like Pastor Sherry's saying, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." Pleased about what? What in the world has Jesus done to be able to receive this gift of God's love? Because I would think if God's pleased with you, God's loving you. It's that love that doesn't have any requirement. About a quarter of a century ago, I got woken up in the middle of the night. It was 2:15 in the morning. I remember looking at the clock, wondering why I was being roused from my blissful slumber by the woman in the bed next to me saying something about a broken glass of water. I didn't understand. I don't function very well when I get up at an unrequired time. And so as I began to process what was going on, I realized it wasn't anything about a glass of water, but it was about a broken thing of water, or somebody's water breaking. And then things got very exciting. Now, we were in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is about an hour and a half away from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. My wife grew up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and so her doctor was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and she saw no reason why she couldn't continue to see her doctor because she loved the dear old man. Somebody who looks a lot like me didn't process that information very well in terms of saying, well, there's going to be a moment where I'm going to have to drive from point A to point B with a woman who's very uncomfortable because she's very pregnant, trying not to be pregnant anymore. And so once I figured out it wasn't about a broken glass of water at all, I grabbed that bag, the bag that was packed for 6 weeks because we were ready for this. Now we get into the car, we drive into the car. I turned this trip of an hour, it's actually an hour and 20 minutes, into a 55-minute trip. Because there's not many people on the road at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And as we get to the hospital, I can remember pulling up to the emergency room, and they came out with a wheelchair. They put her on the wheelchair, and I went, I made it. And all my sense of responsibility concerning the birth of my son was now in other people's hands. I was good with this. Because on that same road the week before, there was a story about a state trooper helping a woman give birth in the back of a car on the way to the hospital. I got about 15 phone calls asking if that was me. But there was this great sense of relief getting there. I didn't have to worry about anything. And so soon we get into the room and I'm waiting because I know this is going to happen because the water broke. And once the water breaks, then everything happens eventually. And so 18 hours and 43 minutes later, I'm holding this slimy little baby in my hands. And I'm looking at him with a sense of pleasure and fear and great joy and the sense of love for someone I had never met before, and a sense of love like I had never had for anyone else. Because this slimy little gooey baby hasn't done a thing for me except cause me distress. And as children are wont to do to their parents, to continue to cause them distress over the next quarter century or so. And still, that love is there. Now, that's as close as I can get to what we have going on in terms of that love that God shares with us. Because this baptism of Jesus is a precursor of our baptism. This is the gift that God gives us. When that water is splashed upon our head, or whether we're dunked or not, in the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at that moment, as we're marked as children of God, we are children of God. And we are children of God in a way that God loves us despite ourselves. That God loves us no matter what we do or what we say or how we act, that love is there. Might not be happy with the way we're acting, but it doesn't diminish the love. And that's what we celebrate here today, is that love that God has bestowed upon us. Not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but because God so loves us. And in response, I think the best we can do is each and every day as we celebrate that gift of baptism, try to live our lives a little bit more like Richard Overton. Maybe not the cigars and the whiskey, but the love. Because when we live our lives in love, an open, caring, and sharing love with the world around us, then we live our lives in the manner for which God would be pleased. In the manner for which God certainly deserves, because that is the very best that we can do, is to live our lives in love. Amen.